Let's open our Bibles. We go into the book of Philippians, chapter 4. We'll read verse 6 and verse 7. The Bible says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ." This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi, but also today we can learn from this amazing teaching of Paul about prayer. Paul, first of all, highlights that our mind in Christ and our understanding of who Christ is, it needs to be guarded. It needs to be protected. And there is only one way to protect that understanding of who Christ is. Paul says there will be trouble. There will be things trying to shake your mind, trying to shake your faith, trying to shake your understanding of who Christ is. But the best way to keep that understanding safe, that mind safe, is to keep it by presenting your request to the Lord in all situations. When you're going through hardships and when you're rejoicing, still come before the Lord and present your request before Him. Paul shows three ways that we present our request before the Lord. And he says it is through prayer, it is through petition, and that comes with thanksgiving. The theme of today's teaching is, what is prayer? When we say we are praying, what are we doing? When we say as believers we need to pray, what does that mean? I'll give you simple definitions, very simple and short, but there is more meaning to that. So these three things that Paul mentions, prayer is a sincere request presented to God. But this request is asking for help. That is prayer. And petition is a formal written request signed by many people. This is now a legal term. For those who have ever dealt with laws, who have ever gone to law school, when somebody says we want to petition or to appeal, it has to be according to the law of the land, and it has to be agreed by many people, and they prove it by putting their signature, their ID, and it has to be presented either to the court, to the parliament, or to anybody that this petition is going to. But petition is done with respect to a particular cause. So there has to be a cause. For example, let's say the government of BC might pass a law or a regulation in the province that we are not happy with. The only way to present or to appeal against this law that has been passed, first of all, we have to be citizens of the land. We have to be British Columbians for us to present our request before the government. Number two, we have to base our request or our denial or the show of how we are offended by what has been passed, basing on the law of the land. So we need to have backup of the law, especially what the Constitution says, because the Constitution is there for the benefit of citizens. So when we go before the government of BC appealing or petitioning, then we go around lobbying for people, telling them our cause. We need to go against this that has been passed, and these are the reasons we need to go against it. And these are the laws that will back us. So put your signature, put your name, then somebody who's leading that movement will take the list and the signatures and the names of However many people you have collected, present it before the government. But this is different from rioting, because when you're petitioning, you don't need to go on the street with billboards or words, bad words against the leaders. When you're petitioning, you go with a law that backs your idea, your petition, and you present it in a form of requesting. Then the government will look into it, also consult the laws and the constitution, and if it's found it to be in your favor, what you're requesting is true. It doesn't matter whether it was brought by the premier of BC, then it can be reversed. That is petitioning. So Paul says we need to pray to present our request for help to God, but we need to also petition. So this simply means we need to be citizens of heaven. We need to be children of God for us to present our petition before God. As the Bible says that the prayers of a sinful person are nothing to God. He does not listen to them. Why does he listen to the prayers of the righteous one? Because they belong to him. They are citizens of heaven. So when you are a child of God, you have the right to petition before God. Something is not going the way it's supposed to go, then you need to go before God and present your request. It is so sad to see that many believers get satisfied by whatever happens in their lives, and many people will credit anything, good or bad, to God. Oh, God wants me to go through this, then I praise him for whatever it is. Some of the things you go through, some of the things that happen in your life are not the will of God. So as a citizen of heaven, you need to know what the constitution of heaven, the word of God, the word that came from the mouth of God says about any situation that you go through. I want to remind you, those who are old enough who know about kingdoms, the word of a king in a kingdom, it becomes law of the land. When a king says something in a kingdom, sorry, a kingdom is different from democracy, okay? When the prime minister says something, it's not approved yet until the parliament approves it, and then it goes all these channels. In a kingdom, when a king says something, it becomes a law. And all citizens of the kingdom will abide and follow what the king says. Our God is called a king. So whatever he says, when we say the book of the law, it is not law because people sat down and approved it to be law. It is the law because the king spoke. Our God spoke and it became the book of law. So this book is a constitution. It is there for our benefit, our well-being. It talks about what we need and what we have in Christ, who we are, our rights. So whatever comes against your rights as a child of God, then you need to consult the Word. And then after knowing what God spoke about you and that situation, then you go before Him. You petition. What's different from this time is that you don't need signatures and approvals from your parents, your neighbors. You can go before God and present your request. And it is well taken when it's based on His word. Paul says that we need to also present it with thanksgiving, expression of gratitude. So prayer is not always asking. It can also be thanking God. It can also be what we call worship. It can also be speaking your right. Speaking your right is simply speaking the word of God, praying in the word. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not fear. See, you read it, you make it your own. And then what you're doing, because you say the Lord is your shepherd, it increases your faith. You know He is your Lord. You know He owns you. You know He will never let you go alone. You know He will never let you fail. He will always be with you. So what is prayer to you? Ask the person sitting beside you, what is prayer? When you pray, what are you doing? Teach me, tell me. What do you do when you pray? To some people, they will do what their parents have taught them from when you were 2 years or 3 years, and you're still citing the same prayer. Oh, my Lord. Jesus taught about prayer in Luke chapter 18. And Luke says that the intention of this parable, on verse 1, he says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. When should people pray? Only on Sunday? Only in the morning? Only when they're about to eat? No, always. Paul said, in all situations, do not be anxious, but present your request to God through prayer, petition, and thanksgiving. And Jesus' teaching about prayer, he said, prayer is a matter of always. It's not limited to, it's a service. It's not limited to a location. It's not limited to a place. At work, pray. When you're driving, pray. It can be dangerous when some people have the wrong perspective of prayer. Like how many people think that when you're about to pray, you have to always close your eyes. So please don't pray that kind of prayer when you're driving, okay? If you have to pray closing your eyes, then wait until you have parked your car. But you can pray while you're driving. You can pray while you're cooking. When you're cleaning at home, Jesus said, man ought to pray always. Then he shares a parable of the widow who went to this unjust judge. This widow has an adversary. She needs justice. She goes to the unjust judge. Every day, every night, the unjust judge said, oh, I'm tired of this lady. It felt like the lady was attacking him. Then Jesus said that for some time he refused. But finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So Jesus assures us that God, he is faithful. He is a just God. Unjust judges can give justice to those who need it, even though they don't mean it. What about your God, your Creator, your King, your Father, the one who saved you? What about Him? Jesus says, won't He give you justice? What is justice? What is giving you justice? Giving you justice means give you what is due, what you are worth of. I know in many prayers we say, Lord, I'm not worthy of this, but you still do it. Our God is a God of justice. He's a just God. He gives you what is worth, what is due, what you're supposed to have. He will give it to you. What is justice again? Justice can come in a form of protecting you. right? Justice is also giving you what is just, what is right for you. So Jesus says, won't God come and give you justice, what is right, and quickly? Now, there is a problem with the quickly. What is the timing of God versus your timing? Most people, when they pray, they want it right now. And sometimes God will say, I'm giving it to you. It is yours, but it's nowhere to be found right now. But our God is a God of speed. But you need to rely on His speed, not your speed. He is a quick God. He's a just God. He will give you justice. But there are a few things that Jesus mentioned. He said, the chosen ones and those who call upon Him day and night. Again, prayer. Jesus is assuring you that when you pray, God will answer your prayer. But for you to be answered, number one, you need to be chosen by God. You need to be born again. You need to have Christ in your life. You need to be part of the family so you can know how to pray, how to talk to your Father. And number two, you don't need to pray only when troubles are around the corner. You pray day and night. Like Jesus said, you pray always. Like Paul said, that you pray in every situation. Living Word, how often do we pray? How often do we pray? Some people will say at least twice a week. Twice a week. Are you a child of God? What kind of a child that wakes up and leaves the house without talking to the Father? What kind of a child that spends a whole day without talking to the Father? What kind of a child that spends a whole week without talking to the Father? What kind of a child that is tired of talking to the Father? See, some of us have experienced the love of fathers in our lives. And we always want to be where our fathers are. We always want to hear from them. We always want to ask them questions. When we see them, we want to sit down and listen to what they're saying. Yet our fathers, they have failures, they have mistakes, they have shortcomings. But our Heavenly Father, He's a perfect Father. He's a great Father. He's the Creator of everything. No wonder Jesus said that whoever loves his children, his mother-in-law more than me does not belong to me. It's because He knows sometimes even believers can love their parents more than Christ, can have time for their parents more than Christ. I was asking myself this question this morning. I said, what's wrong with us? Here in Canada, what's wrong with us? When it's family day, holiday, long weekend, we want to spend time with family. That is very perfect. When it's Thanksgiving, I don't know who it is to. I don't know if it's Thanksgiving to the Lord or Thanksgiving to the family. We also want to spend that time with who? The family. That is very great. When it's Reconciliation Day, long weekend, people want to go away with their. When it's Christmas Day, that is about Jesus Christ, we want to spend time with, and we want to give all the gifts to who? Everybody else except Jesus. We celebrate each other's birthday. Okay, and now we have one day that was dedicated to Jesus' birthday. We can't give Him anything. We still want to give to each other. How selfish we are. Our Father is loving. He's always waiting to hear from you day and night. He's willing to come and give justice. Let me tell you, prayer is inviting God to come and be part of your life. So when do you not want God to be part of your life? In the morning? When you're happy? When everything is good? Prayer is opening the door for God to come in. When you pray for your work, you're opening the door of your business for God to be part of that business. When you pray in your ministry, you're opening the door for God to be part of your ministry. There are ministers who don't pray. Yes, they can preach. Everybody clap their hands and praise the Lord. But they don't pray. They don't have time for God. When God comes to speak to them, they're nowhere. They're busy ministering to people. They don't hear from God. They don't give praise to God. They're preoccupied by their gifts, their anointing, their skills of teaching, and many other things. There are parents who have all the time for their children and no time for God. Young mothers, I know we have a few in the church. When is your time for Jesus? When do you speak to Him? Young and old, when do you talk to Jesus? I'm not talking about Sunday service. The time that you give to God. See, in Malachi chapter 3, God blames Israel for not giving their tithe of their harvest. And many times when we talk about tithe, we talk about money and we stop from there. And it was about their harvest because they were farmers, most of them in that time. But God says that if you give me that tithe, I will bless you to a point you won't have room to contain my blessing. See, it is the will of God to bless you to a point you can't contain. It's too much. It's enough for you and everybody around you. But it's not only the tithe of money, it's also the time. How much time do you give to God? How much time? Oh Lord, I'll give you my money, but you'll never have my heart. The Lord is not only interested in your money. Oh, I support ministry, I support the gospel, but where are you? He wants to bless you. And the greatest blessing is His presence in your life. The God that we serve, He is a just God. He will give you justice. And it will come quickly. But the question is, do you cry unto Him day and night? You come before Him at the end of the month, the whole month you have been away. And now He sees you, He wants to talk to you, but you're already presenting all your problems. He has no time. He can't see a room that He can use to speak to you because He sees you once a month. And even when He sees you, you are busy talking. You don't give Him time to speak to you. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus talks about parents who are good at giving what is good to their children. And then He asks this question. He says, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Church, the Lord gives the Holy Spirit to those who ask. There are those who say, no, it's okay, He will give it to me whether I ask or not, whether I sit down or not. He's promised, that's all. You need the Holy Spirit in your whole life. We won't be a church if we don't have the Holy Spirit, because He's the helper. He's the power that helps us to witness about Christ to the world. How are we going to be the church if we are not led by Him? Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 14, he says that those who are led by the Holy Spirit are children of God. So my question to you is, church, who leads you? Who leads your decisions? Who leads the decisions you make for your family? Who guides you in your business? Who guides you for the choices you make every day of your life? There are people who say, talk about God, but don't bring God in politics. Don't bring God in business. Don't bring God in my marriage. Trust me, you take out God out of anything, you have no true foundation. You will be shaken. You will be broken. If our parents, Jesus said they are evil. I'm sorry, it's not my word, okay? Our parents, who some of them might be evil, but they still give us what is good. What about the Father in heaven? Won't He give us the Holy Spirit to guide us, to teach us, to show us what is right? But Jesus said, those who ask Him, won't He give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? When do you ask? Others, you ask when you have already left. Oh Lord, I started this business, so I ask you to come and be part of it. What about you ask Him which way to take? Lord, come follow me. What about following Him? He will give justice. He will give you the Holy Spirit. So prayer is strength to the church. Remember the story of Jesus beating people, turning tables around. These people were doing business in the church. Trust me, a church that doesn't pray is just a business like others. People see other benefits in gathering. Other people want to come on Sunday because they want to feel the sense of community. Jesus said, and He was quoting prophet Isaiah, don't you know that my house shall be called a house of prayer? God's intention for a temple, for a building like this where we gather, is for us to come. And the first reason we come, it should be prayer. But how much time do we spend in prayer versus the time we spend chatting with one another? Some of us are tired even when the word is being preached for 2 minutes, 5 minutes. But when it comes to sharing snacks, talking about the movies we watch, the shows that we are watching, we can talk for 5 hours, for 10 hours, yet this house is a house of prayer. And we want to see the move of God. We want to see God working in our community. Yet we do not be available for Him to empower us, to give us what is necessary for us to take out to His people. Prayer is strength to the church. Read the book of Acts. Everywhere you see the disciples are gathering, they are praying. Acts chapter 13, they were praying, fasting, and worshiping the Lord. Then the Holy Spirit said, choose Paul and Barnabas for me and set them apart to go and preach. Go read what Paul did. He was chosen by the Holy Spirit in the moment of prayer and worship. Who sends you for ministry? Who sends you for a mission? Who sends you to be part of the worship team? And when you go, how do you go? Do you go by prayer or you go by talent? There are so many singers, but the singers who make a difference in the kingdom of God are singers who spend time in the presence of God. And when they come to lead people, they bring the glory of God. They bring the presence of God. They know the God that they are worshiping. When they tell people the kind of God they are worshiping, they know Him personally. It's not just talent. It's not just knowing chords. It's not knowing keys and singing good harmony. There is anointing. They are backed up by the presence of God because prayer is strength for your ministry. Prayer is also readiness. It shows somebody who's ready. When you pray, you get ready. You are prepared in prayer. Before Jesus chose the disciples, He spent the night praying. Before Jesus started ministry in chapter 4 of the book of Matthew, he went to the wilderness. The Holy Spirit took him to be tested, to see if he's ready. And guess what he was doing? Praying. Jesus prayed in different occasions, sometimes early in the morning, sometimes he spends the whole night, sometimes the crowd comes to him, they want miracles, he runs away from him, he goes to hide and pray. Before he was crucified, what did he do? Pray! He asked his disciples to join him at least for 1 hour, and they failed. Prayer is strength for you, believer. Prayer will give you strength and wisdom, because when you pray, you're choosing to depend on God. You go to Him, you ask Him for guidance, so you are dependent to God. When you don't pray, you are independent from God. You are free. Many of you say that you are free because Jesus set you free, but Jesus set you free from sin for you to be like what Paul calls himself, that he is a slave of Christ, a bond servant of Christ. Jesus set you free from sin for you to be his. Oh Lord, prayer brings healing in the nation. When the nation is in trouble, when the church is in trouble, it's not about talking, it's not about 1,000 meetings. There is prayer. Go ask Nehemiah in Nehemiah chapter 1 what he did after hearing that the walls of Jerusalem have been burnt. He went and spent 3 days praying and fasting. Go ask Daniel in chapter 9 when he understood that 70 years of being in exile, they are over. He went before the Lord and started praying, repenting for the children of Israel. Prayer attracts the presence of God. Go ask Moses in Exodus chapter 34. He went, spent 40 days praying. And when he came down, people didn't want to look at him because his face has changed because of the presence of God. And yet it was the will of God that these people should see him, but they couldn't look at him. They trembled in the presence of God. But it is the will of God that you have the Holy Spirit. It is the will of God that the presence of God be in you, with you, wherever you go, in all you do. I'll end with this. 2 days ago, the Spirit of the Lord whispered to me because I was thinking about prayer, what I'm going to teach on Sunday. Then he said, prayer is like a master key. If you just take it, put it in your pockets, it's not working. But you take it to a door that is shut, it will open it. So some of us, there are situations that are closed, there are things that are unchanged because we say it is the will of God. Yes, the Lord, yet the Lord has given you a master key, which is prayer. Prayer is what? Dependence to God. Depend on Him. Go ask Hannah. Things were done. The other lady is giving, popping kids every day, every year, another child. Hannah is there. She's the first wife. There is no child. She prayed to a point. A priest said, "You are drunk. It's okay, let us call you names. Let us call you names, but be tired. You cannot pray if you're not tired of your situation. You cannot pray if you are not zealous to seek and know God." But prayer can also make you look like a foolish person. But what do you choose? Do you choose to be diplomatic and live the same life? You don't see God working. You only hear about His work. You don't enjoy His presence. You only hear people talking about His presence. Or do you want to experience it by yourself? I want to ask the worship team to come. As you reflect on this word, what is prayer to you? And what do you choose to do today? As they lead us in a song, I want you to pray while you're singing. If you need to repent, if you need to ask God for courage, do that. Father, we know that you are a faithful God, a just God that gives us. When we ask, you say that it shall be given unto us. When we seek you, we find you. When we knock on the door, it shall be opened for us. We pray, O God, that your word that you have spoken to us today will be an encouragement that brings us close to you. Not a strength or push that takes us away from you, feel guilty, but only the strength that gives us and leads us to repentance and come be available for you. Oh God, we pray that your word will continue to be real in our lives. Empower us, enable us, oh God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we always make time in the morning, in the evening, during the day, wherever we go, that we always present our request to you. We'll always depend on you. We'll always raise our worship, raise our praises to you, O God. For you have spoken to us. And when we pray, your presence is available. When we pray, your justice is available. You are ready to answer. When we pray, your Holy Spirit is ready. We give you praise. And I pray that this coming week, oh God, will be a week of change, where many of us will go back to building that discipline of praying day and night, be in your presence, always speak to you. And I pray that it will be a great week as we go to our work, as we live with our families, we do our businesses. We thank you for your presence that goes ahead of us, and we give you all the glory. May your peace and your love go with us in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.